It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us today, as he does each and every Friday. Welcome to the show, everybody. You know what today is, right? Today, I'm going to test you guys today. Today is Phone Friday. I want to get the most amount of phone calls that we ever had on this show today. Will you do me a favor and call the show today? 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about Justin Peck and his win last night with the All-Stars. Justin Grant holds off Kyle Cummins at SmackDown. Justin Fager picks up the win at Quad City last night at Davenport. And we'll talk about that and more on the show today. Hopefully, we'll get a few calls today. Austin, how you doing, bud? You doing all right?
Yeah, I got a good weekend lined up. So,
what are you doing this weekend?
Headed to I-80 tonight, and then Knoxville tomorrow night if the rain holds off.
So you will not be here tomorrow.
I will not be here tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, that's our loss.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Well, you admitted to yourself that it is. Our loss that you're not going to be here tomorrow.
It's our loss. It's us three, right?
right.
It should be a fun weekend. You know, we talked about the season finale at Knoxville. I think it might have been Monday or Tuesday with Brown. But, you know, a big weekend lined up for those guys. You have four guys eligible for the 410 championship, two in the 360s. So should be good to be a part of it. I'll be part of it in a different way as a crew guy, but still being up there at Knoxville's, you know, pretty fun.
Yeah, you like Knoxville, don't you? I mean, it if there was a place that you could race weekly, Austin, would it be Knoxville? If there was one track in this area that you could run weekly, would that be the place?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's what everybody that races sprint cars would say to that, you know, that question. But, you know, it's the sprint car capital of the world. It's where everybody wants to be, and it's where the best place to be to have a name made for yourself. You know, there's a lot of eyes on that place, and you know, it could really turn your career around. So that's, you know, like I said, where anybody really wants to be. So, you know, if I ever had the opportunity to do it full time up there, I would, you know, definitely take it, and hopefully that's, you know, the case next year, if not, you know, the year after. But
that's,
I mean,
what you want to do.
Anytime you get to go race there, it's a great opportunity, even if it's one night, two nights, or the whole season.
Let me ask you this, Austin. If you were to go race up there weekly, what does that do for you as a driver? You know, because you hear people say all the time that Knoxville races different than any other racetrack, right? I get it. It's, you know, it's the world capital of sprint car racing, Knoxville, Iowa. And the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's up there as well. But would that hinder you trying to run other racetracks when you dip away from Knoxville if you raced up there full time? Would that be a disadvantage to you when you show up at other racetracks?
I think it's an advantage. And it can be an advantage and disadvantage. It just depends on how you use it. Look at Brian Brown. Brian spent 20 years up there, just there. He might go out and run a handful of other places, but it's all pretty much, you know, Knoxville or some half miles. And that really shows on his short track package. And, you know, he goes to, like, the lake or, you know, like a US 36, you know, in our area.
He's not as good.
He's not that good, and he struggles.
Right.
But, you know, Knoxville only races, I think they only have like 15, 16, you know, races on the, you know, in the book this year.
Yep.
And it's always on Saturday nights. So you have a lot of opportunities, you know, on Friday night, you know, in Iowa or in Nebraska, which, you know, would be I-80 this year. Or, you know, there's some Sunday night shows too. So, you know, I think if you just solely focused on Knoxville, You know, it would definitely make you better on half miles, and it would kind of open up your program a little bit. But if you did it the way, you know, any racer could do it, is, you know, race in Iowa at the vast variety of tracks that they have. It's, you know, they have a variety of small tracks to big tracks, and then, you know, do that on Friday and hit Knoxville on Saturday, then hit your Sunday shows, and really, you know, get as much laps as you can. And I think that's, you know, what a driver and a team should try and do.
So let me ask you this. Would it make sense if you ran Knoxville on Saturday night? And I get it, it's 4 or 5 hours away. But would it make sense to go up to Huset's and run on Sunday and try to double dip? Because we know that Jackson's not running weekly up there, 410s anyway. Would it make sense to try to go up there and try to do Huset's on Sunday night, or is that too much fuel, too much expense?
If you have a 410, do it. You know, if
360, not so much.
They don't run 360s at Huset's, but once a year on Labor Day weekend in September. So, you know, if you got a 410, you know, go and do it. And a lot of the 410 guys, you know, some of them don't, but let me say about half of them, so maybe the majority can have the finances and the budget to go race and race whenever, you know, and that's the guys you can see, you know, do Saturday at Knoxville and Sunday at Huset's and maybe a Friday show somewhere too. But yeah, if you're a true racer and you eat, sleep and breathe racing, right, you're going to do this sweep. So, especially if you're in that area.
But last year, didn't they run 360s weekly up there?
No. It's never been a 360.
Never
track.
Been a 360. They've never ran 360s.
Been 305s and 410s.
Why would they run 305s weekly? I don't get it.
It's just an abundance of that of the race they
receive. There's
cars
plenty
up there.
Of them up in that area, right? Because they love to race at Eagle, right?
Eagle. Then you have some cars from North Dakota, Minnesota. You know, you lost a little bit with Knoxville going to the 525 crate motor, but the 360s, it's just, we're seeing it, you know, kind of in the Midwest, especially that it's just
fizzling out.
There's
a
cars,
bit.
But it's not like it was maybe 10 years ago. There right. isn't, you know, you might be able to pull, you know, 30 cars at some events, but, you know, you're looking at, you know, 15 to 20, and it's just everybody's chasing the money to go 410 racing. And they're getting by them making the move from a 360 to the 410, they're getting rewarded by the better pay and just the overall better, I guess, experience, you know, following a series. You know, the series is taking more care of them than 360 series is.
Caleb says on here, 305 sprints are exploding. I don't think so. I'm not going to agree with you on that one, Caleb. You know, I agree with you a lot of what you say, but I'm not going to say that 305s are exploding right now, because if you look at what we have around this area, how many do they get up there at US 36 weekly?
I wouldn't say they're exploding in this area, but across the country, I think they're definitely, you know, taking off a little bit, but
they're too expensive, to be honest.
They get a handful, you know, probably 10 or so, but you go to Eagle, and Eagle knocks down 30 or 40 a night.
Right. No, Eagle is the exception. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, Eagle Raceway, Roger's done a good job with bringing in the 305s up there. I just don't see it. If you go to US 36. I mean, not US 36, but if you go down to Lake Ozark Speedway, they don't have a ton of them down there either, do they? How many do they get down there?
About 10 or so, too. But,
right,
you know, this area isn't a 305 area. The more northern you go, South Dakota, Nebraska, North Dakota, Minnesota, that's your 305 country.
What about going east and west, out on the east coast and on the west coast? Are they big out there?
Not really. I think they're more of a Midwest series. You know, 410s are the king on the west coast. The 360s are there right with them. I don't see a lot of 305 stuff. You head out towards the east coast, and you have, you know, a 360 series. You have, I think, maybe a 410 series. And then it's mainly, you know, non-wing stuff with USAC. And then if you head down to the south, you have URCS.
Mm-hmm.
Might have said that wrong. But you have them down in the south. So, and that's really, you might have a handful of maybe a small series or two, but it's mainly an upper Midwest series.
Caleb says they've at Attica, they got 25 plus 305s a week. I did not know that, Caleb. But me personally, the problem I have with 305s is that they everybody talks about how much cheaper they are, right? But Austin, you know that these 305 motors are not inexpensive, right? I mean, if you're going to have a competitive 305, what are you going to have to spend, $25,000, $30,000 for a 305? I've heard of engine builders getting $30,000 plus for 305 motors right now. Have you heard that?
No. I if you look at, you know, marketplaces on social media and swap shops for motors, I've been seeing 305 stuff kind of pop up around $20,000, $22,000.
Used motors?
Yeah, they're used, but you know, maybe they need a refresh, or they're halfway through their season. I don't remember what the one I saw had on it, but it was about $20,000. But you look at it now, the 360s, you know, are used to be $35,000, and that was like the top, you know, top of the line, you know, most expensive motor you can go out and buy, and now it's up to $65,000.
Yeah,
so it's cheap in that sense.
But let me stop you right there. But you can buy a good, because you've done it, right? You can buy a good used 360 for $20,000 to $25,000. Is that correct?
That's true. It's a good motor, but I mean, you take it really anywhere else, and it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can cheap out and save the money. And I'm not knocking, you know, the engine that I had. It was really good for what we were doing at the point. But you go to the half mile stuff, and you go to Knoxville, or you go to I-80. It ran okay at I-80 at times, but
right.
I mean, you take it to some big tracks, it's not good enough. So now you're forcing guys to go out there and spend $50,000 to $60,000 on a rider.
Right.
And now your 410s are, you know, $80,000. So
right.
You know, the 305, it's not, I wish it was, you know, like $10,000, but you know, it's cheaper in the sense of being, you know, $35,000.
Right. Dave Tyson, he chimed in. He says, there are owners paying $25,000 to $30,000 for 305 engines. Tammy chimes in. She says, in PA and in New Jersey has two different 305 series. Both are doing pretty healthy. So, I'm not really familiar with it, what everybody runs out on the West Coast, to be honest, or on the East Coast. I'm not that familiar with it. But when I was out running up and down the West Coast with the Lucasoil ASES National Sprint Car Tour, I didn't see a lot of 305s out there.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I only know what's kind of going on in the Midwest. The Attica was news to me, and same with the Pennsylvania New Jersey series. But yeah, I mean, after hearing that, you know, it sounds like, you know, they're more widespread than what I thought they were in just the Midwest.
Well, it sounds like they're pretty popular out there. OCRS in Oklahoma's 305s, two barrel carburetors, 360s, or two barrel carburetor 360s. What is better? What, to me, there is an abundance of 360s around the country, right? There's a crap load of them. Why? I'm not a big carbureted sprint car fan. Are you, Austin? Do you care much for the carbureted 360s? Listen, they put on a great race down there in around the Oklahoma area, around Tulsa, Joaquin, there's a lot of those cars down there, and they do put on a pretty good race.
Yeah, they put on a decent show. I just
you wouldn't race.
I'm not a fan of. I would race anything right now. I'm just not a fan of sticking a two barrel on it.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to do if you stick a two barrel on your 360,
right?
You're going to race OCRS and OCRS only. You're going to race those 20 races in Oklahoma and some in Kansas, but if you have a 305, let's say it's a Race Saver hard car motor, you can go race Eagle, you can go race Husitz, you can go race
right
more tracks than just this one series that you're stuck to. You now you can kind of spread your wings and get out and go around. I get the deal, the reason why they put the carburetor on it was if you go out there and hurt your 360 or guys that had, you know, 360s motors that had an issue with them, they could stick a carburetor on them and go run OCRS.
Right.
You know. So, but that's not really the case with them anymore.
So just so you know, the best years of my racing career was on a 4412 500 carburetor. 4412. Those were the best years of racing in Kansas City when Ted Carlson decided that we needed to all go to, well, in the beginning, we started on a 350 two-barrel, and then we graduated to a 4412 500 carburetor eventually. But I don't know. It's just me. I like, to be honest with you, I like 410 racing more than anything right now. So hopefully we can get you a 410 next year. Kirk, how you doing, bud? You doing all right?
I'm doing great.
You just sitting back here watching me and Austin talk.
Yeah. Man, what a great week of interviews you've had here. Donnie Schatz yesterday, that was, I told you yesterday after that, that's the best interview I've ever heard you anybody do with Donnie Schatz.
Well, and I don't know
you,
all about
that.
And
followed up Buddy Kofoid on Wednesday and Brian Brown with a pretty open interview on Tuesday. So what a great week you've had.
Yeah, no, not a bad week. Brian Brown, Buddy Kofoid, Donnie Schatz, not a bad week. Pretty good week here for us here at Mostly Motorsports. Kirk, did you get to watch a little bit of racing last night? Did you watch Peck pick up his third in a row with the All-Stars last night? Did you watch that?
I did. He's got it going on right now, huh? Three in a row?
Three in a row. Yeah. Picked up $12,000 last night. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he really took to that Bridgeport racetrack last night, and after he jumped out of the car, he said as much. I like this place. Well, why wouldn't he? The way he ran last night, starting from the fifth row to charge his way up through there and outrun Anthony Macri and point leader Tyler Courtney. Courtney able to get past Macri for second place right there at the end. Anthony Macri driving that 11M car, filling in for Parker Price Miller this weekend. That's a good race car, and Anthony Macri is one hell of a driver, too.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And you know, that's his seventh win of the year, and that's his 12th win with the All-Stars.
For Justin Peck. Yeah, yeah. Man, whatever they've got figured out, they've got it going on right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
What'd you think about that race last night, Austin?
I'm just catching the highlights for the first time of it, but Peck only knocked 4 points off of Sunshine's lead. He's down to 110 from 114. So, you know, like we talked about yesterday, he needs, you know, keep up his consistency and his speed and winning races. But, you know, we need to see Sunshine kind of have some nights where, you know, he might not finish that well. And it, you know, helps, you know, Peck kind of close in on that points lead. But, he's just kind of, you know, taking over what, you know, Sunshine owns. I feel like, you know, he's doing what Sunshine did last year.
There's only 14 races left with the All-Stars, right? And what I see right now out of Sunshine, out of Tyler Courtney, is he's in championship mode right now. He said as much last night in his post-race interview that he didn't want to do anything to get a DNF last night. He knew that he was right behind Peck, and he knew that's where he needed to finish, and he needs to keep doing that. I think right now Tyler Courtney's in championship mode. He's not going to take any risk, and he's going to try to stay as close to Peck as he can. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I agree 100%, and it's not the first time he's done this. You know, he won some championships with USAC, you know, a handful of years ago, and you know, he won the championship last year, so he's no stranger to doing this points racing. So
he's pretty savvy at it,
and he knows that, you know, I feel like his stuff is good right now, but you know, it's definitely not as good as Justin Peck. So, you know, and it's smart and it's good that, you know, he as a driver and the team can realize the position that they're in, what they're capable of doing, and they just got to, you know, go to the track and every night do the same thing and not make any mistakes. And you know, do that 14 times, and you know, you walk out with a really good, you know, paycheck at the end of the year with a championship.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to take that championship away from Sunshine, the way he's running right. Even though he's not winning races,
listen,
he's finishing up towards the
I'm not getting on that boat with you at all, because I really believe that Justin Peck still has a chance, don't you think, Austin?
Oh, you have a chance till the last race.
Right.
What's
the point difference right now?
110 points. 110. I'm going to look up what it...
What can you make up in one night?
Yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
Tyler Courtney's got to have some bad nights. That's what's got to happen.
But that can happen real easy. Blow a right rear tire, go to the rear. I mean, look, we saw it last night in SmackDown. Cummins last night, right? Right rear tire goes flat before the race even starts.
Yep.
Has to start dead last, comes from 22nd.
And he still almost won it.
And still almost won the race. So it can happen.
It's going to be interesting to see. They're heading back to Pennsylvania. Williams Grove Speedway tonight. We've got Lincoln Speedway on Saturday night, Bedford on Sunday night. And it's going to be interesting to see where Anthony Macri ends up at three racetracks he's done pretty well at. So how that changes from Bridgeport to tonight and the rest of the weekend, it's going to be interesting to watch, especially Macri in that 11M car, see how he does.
Are they coming back here?
In the Midwest?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so. They got Sharon Speedway for two nights over the Labor Day weekend. Then they moved to Port Royal Speedway for the Tuscora 50. And then it's back to Williams Grove, Lincoln, Bedford, and they close out the season at Fremont Speedway in October. Mm. So they're staying out east for the rest of the season.
Well, that's where the action is, to
be honest. If you win,
you
get 150 points. For 24th on back, it's 102. So if Peck wins and Sunshine has an awful night and finishes last, he can make up to 48 points on him.
In one night.
In one night.
So it only takes a couple bad nights, right? I mean, two, three bad nights.
Yeah, I mean,
do you
even...
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think Tyler Courtney is going to have those kind of nights?
Or
you think he's just going to run close to Peck, as close as he can?
Even if he finishes 15th, that's 120 points, and if Peck wins, that's 30 points to the advantage. So, you know, it's just, you know, Sunshine's going to do what he can do to stay close to Peck, but... You know, look at what the tires are having. We're having issues with tires right now. We can't get them. And then, you know, the quality of them that we're getting, you know, aren't that good. So are we going to see an issue where we have an issue of tires letting go at these tracks?
Right.
Or we have rubber, or you get caught up in someone's mess, kind of like, you know, Cole Macedo spinning out on the first lap and wrong place, wrong time, your night could be over. And, you know, you have, you know, 14 features coming up the rest of the year and 14 opportunities of it to be taken away from you.
If it's me, I think the biggest concern for me would be tires. Would you agree with that, Austin?
I think everything's an equal concern. Is your stuff going to fall apart, tires, or are you going to get crashed? I mean, it's just the same concerns you pretty much have every night. But we haven't really seen too many tire issues here recently. The last time I feel like we saw anything was Knoxville, but we don't know if something was on the track, you know, after that crash in turn one, or if it was just, you know, an issue with getting a bad batch.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more fodder right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly,
by adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission. It cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to thank those folks for being great supporters of Racing Boys all these years. We've had a great relationship with Lucas Oil for the last 12 years, and we are feel very fortunate to have them in our corner. Hopefully they'll be back next year, and we'll continue to do Mostly Motorsports next year right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Let's talk a little bit about that race last night at SmackDown. What'd you guys think about that race?
Interesting race. Kyle Cummins definitely had the fastest race car last night, and had he not had that tire go down right before the start of the eight main, I don't think Justin Grant's got anything for him at all. And he's still coming from the back of the pack, almost beat Justin Grant there at the end.
Yep.
If he'd had another lap or two, he would have.
Well, yeah. Do we know this for a fact? Did you feel like Kyle Cummins was faster than Justin Grant last night, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, if he came through the field like that, you'd have to say he would be.
He blew around Robert Blue right there at the end.
Yeah, and he saw it with his hot lap and kind of a qualifying time, too. I don't exactly remember where he timed in at, but
timed in first. Had the quick time.
There you go. I knew he was fast. But, yeah, I mean, he always gets around these Indiana tracks really well, and guy's been around it forever. But, you know, I think those two cars were probably your best cars all night long.
Right.
You know, it shows why Grant, you know, as a shot for the championship at Kokomo this year.
Yeah.
He's one of the, three or four drivers that's eligible for the championship. And, you know, he showed you know, why he's deserving of that, you know, last night. But, you know, I've always said for a while now, if Kyle Cummins was ever, you know, presented the opportunity to come and, you know, run the full tour with USAC, he'd be a tough contender for a championship.
Right. He was fast qualifier last night with a 12.61 with a 7. Emerson Axum was second with a 12.64. And Justin Grant was 7th overall with a 12.71. So he was just about a tenth off.
Yeah, and that's
of what Cummins had.
And that's just a matter of a flick of the wheel, or, you know, Kokomo kind of had
just
a rough
one little
yeah, it had a little bit of a rough spot, you know, kind of getting into 3 and into 1 a little bit, and it just might have bounced the car the wrong way. But we even saw it with hot laps. I know hot laps doesn't really matter, but they're kind of making a big deal on the broadcast about that last night. And, you know, he was quick time there for a little bit. Mitchell Moles and a handful of other cars kind of knocked him down. But, you know, I wouldn't, after his run last night, you know, we'll see what he can do tonight and see what his point totals look like going into tomorrow night. But I'm going to call it. It'd be hard to bet against, you know, not Justin Peck. Kyle Cummins going into Saturday night.
We got a lot of stories going on.
Oh,
here,
I know.
Right?
Cummins, and then the heat race, Cummins started 6th, and he blew past Brady Bacon and Kevin Thomas Jr. to win that race. So, I mean, he just looked strong all night long.
Well, he was scheduled to start 6th.
No, in the heat race.
Oh, in
I'm
the
talking
heat.
In the heat race, he started back on the third row and blew past Bacon and Kevin Thomas Jr. to win that
Did
race.
Brady have a flat last night?
Yes, it was a handful laps into the feature.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get that phone there. 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553.
I mean, Robert Ballew admitted himself last night. He said the two guys to beat are Kyle Cummins and Justin Grant.
Yeah.
And so you got to outrun those two guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Is that Pat? All right, let's go to the phones, and Pat's joining us on the show. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Good, guys. Hope you're all doing well. I just wanted to comment, a big tip of the hat to Todd and Doug and the whole crew at Jackson.
Oh, no doubt.
For getting the shows in last week. That was a Herculean effort. And
no doubt.
Boy, I tell you what. We saw some pretty decent racing, even on the daytime show. It was really good last lap pass. My hat's off to them, man. We got very lucky to see a show, and it's all the hard work that they put in, you know.
Well, we know one thing about Todd Quaring, right? He's not a quitter, right? I mean, he doesn't give up easy.
That's yep.
For sure, yeah.
Well, you know, Carson Macedo, after he got that wind stolen away from him by Shewhart in the afternoon, he was a man on a mission in the night show, was he not?
Boy, he sure was. He was very, very fast. And we all kind of were thinking, our group were all kind of thinking, well, okay, Logan's going to come flying through here because Logan's so good there.
Right.
And it just never materialized. It just never materialized. But also, Jacob Allen has had a great couple weeks here in a row.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you what, they really seem to be getting their stuff together. And very, very happy to see that. He seems like a really good kid and hard worker, and it's awesome.
Were you a little surprised that Logan didn't come up through there better than that?
Shocked.
Yeah, me too.
Really, really shocked because he's so good there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
But it was a great show. But
were you
also really anticipating to see what? Go ahead.
Did you go to the race?
Oh, yeah. I actually drove up Thursday night and watched it rain. So,
That's a bummer.
But, yeah, but what do you do? You know,
yeah.
If you don't go, it doesn't rain, and if you go, it does rain. So.
Yeah. Well, where's but, your Pat, where's your weekly track? Where do you go to normally every week?
Husetts every week.
Every week. You don't miss Husetts every week.
No, don't miss Husetts. This weekend I'm going to Knoxville and Husetts.
Let me ask you a question real quick. How many 305s do they get up there at Husetts?
25 or so.
They do.
Yep.
Yeah. Do they benefit from Eagle having so many cars down there? You think that Eagle is causing the 305s to grow in that area a little bit?
No, I think it's because they can race Saturday at Hartford and Sunday at Huset's, but also like on Friday, you know, some Fridays this year they had shows at Jackson. Rock Rapids has, you know, a couple 305 shows. It's a growing class up here. I think we get a couple cars that come up from the Nebraska area, but this has been a stronghold for 305s for the last 7-8 years, I'd say.
Wasn't Hartford closed down for a year or two?
Yeah, Hartford was closed down. The Chuck, when he owned Badlands, hired Lyle Howie to run Huset's. Part of the agreement was to shut Hartford down during that time.
Yeah. You know, him and his wife, I think his wife's name is Dawn. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. They're good. They're pretty good people.
Very good people. Hard workers.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hard workers.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Go ahead.
They have a really loyal following out at Hartford, too. They get a pretty nice crowd every night, so.
Yeah,
it's a good deal.
One of my greatest memories of traveling with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour was when we were up there one night, and some severe weather rolled in right before the A Main, and then the cars took off and were going down the back straightaway, and the wind blew them off of turn three, and they had to call the race right then and there on the spot. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember scrambling out of there.
Yeah, that was a crazy deal up there. I mean, it was just unbelievable the weather that we got in there that night. Well, Pat, thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling. Yeah, you got anything else?
Also, yeah, I just want to mention I was hoping to make it to I-80 this weekend. I'm not going to be able to. I wanted to see the 360s there, but they do have another big 360 show at the end of next month, and then of course the Outlaws there. Boy, I tell you what, guys, it just really sucks seeing this place close. I know, man. It's a huge loss for racing. It truly is. And
do we know for a fact it's really going to close yet? Has it been confirmed that it is definitely going to close? Because we hear rumblings that it might stay open.
Well, that would be awesome if it did. Yeah. It'd be awesome. But, you know, I just had a wild idea, you know, it would be really great if one of these streaming companies were to come in and buy this racetrack, because it's just too good to walk away from. It just
no doubt.
Hate to see it turn into a parking lot or a whatever they're going to do it for.
A junkyard.
And I'm sure it's hard on the Kaziskis too. So
yeah, no doubt. You know, it's harder on them than anybody for sure.
Yeah, what we know is the Kaziskis are not going to be running I-80 Speedway next year.
Yeah, we do know that part.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're such good guys. Such good guys.
Yep.
We're all better that they've been involved in racing.
No doubt about it.
Thank God for the Kaziski.
You know, I watched it. Joe and Steve race at the old Lakeside Speedway that closed down in 1988 out at Leavenworth Road for years and years and years. They were great racers. Pat, thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. You have a good weekend and take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go back to the phone. Dave's calling in. Dave, how you doing, bud?
Hey, good afternoon, racing boys.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I can't tell you how many years it's been since I've been so excited to go to a weekly racing program, but I'm going to Knoxville tomorrow.
Ah,
how about that?
Yeah.
Double features in the 410s.
Compelling storylines.
Yeah, that's going to be a good night. I mean, you know what? I might just go up there tomorrow night.
Well, keep in mind on the 410, the twin features, that was not scheduled, but they had a weekly racing program up there a month or so ago, and they got the entire thing completed except the 410 feature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're going to have twin features tomorrow night, and it's the season finale, the last night of the season for sprint cars at Knoxville. And you've got point championships coming down in both the 360s and the 410s.
Yeah. 18 points separate Terry McCarl and Clint Garner in the 360 class.
Right. So
that'll be interesting.
Yes. And keep in mind, Clint Garner's kind of had his way up there with the 360 class on getting the point championships for some time, but Terry McCarl dropped down to the 360s and declared to go for that point championship this year. and he's done very well. And then, of course, Aaron Reitzel has been collecting quite a bit of the money in that class as well, but he declared for the 410 point championships.
Right, so he's not eligible.
Yes, but he's eligible to win the money.
Right, that's true. I guess that's true, right, yeah. So are you going to
got Brian Brown and Aaron Reitzel fighting it out for the 410 championship.
Yeah.
85 points separate those two drivers. And Brian Brown, what's he missed, three shows this year at Knoxville?
Hold on a second.
Still has a shot at it.
How many points can a guy make in one night up there?
I am not certain of that.
Austin, you looked that up one time, didn't you?
I will find out tomorrow before I, you know, when I'm up there, but I do not know.
Yeah.
I think it's something that can be done if he has a really good night.
Yes.
Yeah. Austin's on the hunt right now. Let me tell you, that kid is good. He'll find out how many points they can make up in one night for sure.
And if you're going up to Knoxville early, congratulations. Kim DeLong, the ticket manager up there at Knoxville for the last 16 years, is retiring. They're having a party for her between
that,
1 and 3 in the Dyer Hudson Hall right in the afternoon.
Job there.
Yeah. Isn't that. It is related to Nikki, right? DeLong?
I'm not certain on that.
I think so.
You know, they had a ticket manager there for many, many years, and she retired, and this lady replaced her.
And now she's retiring. Kim DeLong. Congratulations to Kim. So party for her
tomorrow. So Kim is Nikki's mother.
Okay.
She works in the office. Nikki is, she's been up there, been a long-time supporter of the Racing Boys here. She's always tuning in to the show from time to time. So, yeah, I know them pretty well. How many years has she been there?
16 years.
16, I believe.
Yep. 16 years. How about that? I'd like to retire, too. But that's not going to happen.
Anyway, I'm working on it. I'm excited about going seeing the races up there tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm working on it so I can be just like Dave here, just go to the races and hang out.
Well, I'm not quite in the situation Kirk's in. I'm going to be forced to work until they throw dirt on me. That's it. All right, Dave, thanks for calling in, buddy. We appreciate you. Hey, I'm filling that thing out. I started filling that sheet out today.
Okay, don't work too hard on it. I'll help you out with it.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Hey, one other race tomorrow night down at Central Missouri Speedway. The WAR non-wing sprint cars are being in action down there at Central Missouri Speedway Saturday night. And Corey Schutte got a healthy point lead, and that's going for his fourth win of the year. So got that going on tomorrow night.
All right. We're going to take our final break of the day. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned for more Mostly Motorsports. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jarrett Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I want to remind everybody about the great track tribute to Ascot Park that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got video, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot Park. You know what I really enjoyed when I was up there for the Nationals, for both weeks of the Nationals? They had a bunch of old vintage T-shirts hanging from the rafters just above the exhibit of Ascot Park. And these are vintage shirts. Boy, I'd sure like to get my hands on a couple of them because they are so cool. And you can see them, all of the cool-looking shirts that they had over the years at Ascot Park. It's really a neat deal. Not to mention some of the old cars that were there. I've said it many times that my favorite car up there is the old paint car that Jimmy Oskey drove. What a great piece that is up there. And if you want a little history of Turkey Night, they've got a Pernelli Jones midget up there as well. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out. It's maybe the greatest track tribute that I've ever seen. It's just fantastic, folks. You just need to get up there and check it out. It's such a great deal. Get up there, buy you a T-shirt. They've got all kinds of things going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, including the raffle for the 2022 Triple X Chassis 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be giving away. They're going to give you $25,000 on top of that as well. This is a complete race-ready 410 Sprint car, folks, with a Moyle motor in it. Is that how you say it? Moyle?
Moyle.
Moyle. You know me, I'll butcher it up.
Or you'd be like me and call it a Speedway a couple days ago.
Yeah, you did do that, didn't you? At least I called it
I was a couple years behind on the raffle.
Right, yeah, that's all right.
Triple X chassis, right?
That's all right. Yeah, it's Triple X. I just said that. Triple X chassis and $25,000. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, what you need to do is go to SprintCarRaffle.com and buy a raffle ticket. Folks, this is a great deal. Just go there, go to SprintCarRaffle.com, buy you a raffle ticket, and you might have a chance to win a 2022 Triple X chassis with a Moyle motor in it. So, man, that's going to happen on Friday, December 16th. They're going to give that car away. So do yourself a favor. Go to SprintCarRaffle.com. Make you a purchase of a raffle ticket. I always get the hiccups. Sometime every day on the show, I get the hiccups. I don't know why that is. Jason Fager won last night, Kirk, at the Quad Cities 150 at Davenport last night. Did you watch any of that race?
I did. That was Devin Moran's race to lose last night, and he did lose it because he had a tire go down. He had a 2.3-second lead in that race when Ryan Gustin
right to the meat and potatoes, Kirk, don't you?
Well, he had that right rear tire go down, and at the same time Gustin was getting his tire changed, here comes Devin Moran pulling in. So Jason Fager was the beneficiary of all that.
Well, listen, Fager was fast, though. I mean, if you looked at early in that race, Fager looked like he was as good as Moran, and they were racing each other pretty hard there for a bit. But then once Devin Moran got out into the lead, it was pretty much over at that point. Yeah. He stretched it out a little bit. It looked like that Fager's car kind of faded there at one point during the race. Yeah. Did you watch any of that, Austin?
I did not. I was locked into our sprint car races.
You're just all about the open wheel, aren't you, buddy?
I am. I mean, like I said yesterday, that's what I'm involved
in. You
got to
watch some of this late model racing.
I know. I need to. I've always put on really good racing, but I got to kind of keep up with what's going on and something I'm involved with and see what's changing in sprint car racing.
How'd Riley Kreisel do last night?
Got to the B. And then had
he started on the front row of the B, didn't he?
Nah, he started ninth.
Oh, ninth.
Got into a guy, had a tire go down, and ran out of time in the hot pit to get it fixed. Well, timed in the top 20s. Had a decent night for never seeing Jack Yaley's car before.
He'd never driven that car. Had he raced at that racetrack before?
Nope, first time for really everything last night.
Yeah, he's a pretty good wheel man, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, going and racing against, you know, arguably the best, you know, nomming race drivers in the world right now, you know, at that event, and the time in, you know, the top 20, and have a decent night, you know, and there's nothing really to hang your head on.
No, not at all.
Boy, a couple of vicious flips last night. That one in the C main was that was a kind of an end over ender up against the fence down there.
What was the guy's name?
Dalton
Kurt?
Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Banalis was who that was. Dalton Stevens flipped his car during time trials earlier in the night, but it was Alex Banalis that took a that was a different kind of flip, wasn't it? Kind of an end over end up against the fence. That was pretty wicked.
It was kind of a backwards a flip, and now I'm watching the highlights from Davenport, and one of the Simpsons got upside down. So definitely kind of rare to see a late model, you know, get up off the edge and end upside down, but it's kind of a factor of having no walls at Davenport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Davenport speed, just getting back, Jason Fager, he made a comment at the during the post-race interview that he's gone to this Longhorn chassis, and he's really been leaning on Tim McCready for advice to get set up on that. Those two guys are really good friends, but he talks to Tim McCready almost every day getting that car dialed in. And he's been eating it up on the Mars Series this year, winning a bunch of races over there. So Fager really got his car dialed in.
Yeah. Longhorn chassis are they got to be the most dominant chassis right now in late model racing, aren't they?
Well, we've seen some wins by the Rocket chassis.
Not that many.
But Longhorn.
Not as many as the Longhorn.
This has been the year for the Longhorn chassis, yeah, no doubt about it.
Tammy chimed in. She said that that Davenport Speedway is a real racy joint. Austin, it's okay. You can sneak in and watch some dirt late model racing once in a while. We will not think less of you.
I never said I didn't like dirt late model racing. It's really good for the races that they put on. I just got to dedicate some more time to watching their racing. It's just I'm so focused on what I'm doing and stuff that I'm involved in. I don't really branch out of I guess my comfort zone very much and go watch other races.
All right. Hey, there's one other late model event that we're keeping our eyes on this weekend. One of my favorite racetracks, Port Royal Speedway. They open up the Rumble by the River the next two nights up there. We'll see if Jonathan Davenport can go win his fourth straight $50,000 plus to win event in the month of August. That it'll be a 50-lap race instead of a 100-lapper tomorrow night, but he'll be there this weekend to try to see if he can keep his hot streak going.
And the USMTS is going to be racing up at Mississippi Thunder Speedway. That is in Fountain City, Wisconsin. They'll be racing there tonight. So, and you can watch that on Racing Dirt if you'd like to watch that. Also tonight, is today the 26th?
Yes, Friday the 26th.
ASCS Sooner Region action from Creek County Speedway will be on Racing Dirt as well tonight.
Kind of a bummer that ASCS called off the, I don't know if it's Dodge City Raceway Park or ASCS or a combination of the two, that we won't be seeing the national tour at Dodge City this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bummer. But they'll be back in action next weekend, Labor Day weekend, Red Dirt Raceway, and then two nights at Lake Ozark Speedway for the LOS Nationals coming up next weekend. So I've got that going on. And what, World of Outlaws tonight at? A great racetrack, River City Speedway up in North Dakota tonight. That is a great racetrack. They're going to be running at tonight, Red River Valley Speedway, tomorrow night for the World of Outlaws.
Right. The Super Dirt Car Series will be racing tonight at, is it Ransomville tonight?
Yeah, they were there last night.
Yeah,
too.
Is that a two-day show up there?
I believe it is.
I think it is, yeah.
Last night, Matt Williamson picked up the feature victory.
All right, so let's do a little bit of this before we wrap up the show. I think we did it yesterday, but let's reaffirm today. Does Ryan Timms run in the top 10 tonight with the World of Outlaws? Yes or no, Austin?
I'm going to say what I said yesterday. I'm going to give him a top 15 finish.
Uh-huh.
I would not be surprised to see him finish in the top 10. I'm going to keep my bet safe on a top 15.
I'm going to say no. He does not make the top 10. He'll do well to make the A main tonight. It's kind of the way I see it.
I'm kind of like you, Kirk. I'm not even sure he'll make the show.
That's
tonight.
Awesome. First night, that's a pretty high expectation.
It depends on what the car count is, right?
Right.
Right. I mean, if there's 27 cars there, 28 cars, then he's going to get in.
Right.
Right. But if there's – how many cars do you think they'll have tonight? Marie, tell me how many cars you think we'll have tonight.
I'm looking at what we had last year.
How many was it?
Seemed like they had pretty good car counts up there.
Give me 1 second.
I can't remember what they had last year, but I don't remember them having poor car counts at
John Jr. races. I think Dodge City pulled the plug on that race. I don't think they're getting much of a crowd. Marie says 30 cars.
Could be.
Yeah. Caleb says 32 cars. He said, John, the ASCS pressure made it sound like it was Dodge City Raceway Park's decision to pull the plug on that race. And that's what I got out of it, Caleb. Yeah. Same thing. Same deal.
Yeah. Craig Delansky been running that racetrack down there, has he not?
Yeah. But
I haven't heard much about it.
Listen, he's not Tommy Estes.
No. Haven't heard much about what's going on down there. So.
Right.
Also, just a correction.
Tammy says 28 tonight.
They had 24 in June.
24.
Yeah. So. They'll have a full field.
Listen,
of cars.
If they have 24 cars, then he's in, right? If
yes.
They only have 24 cars, he's going to make the A main.
Yeah, I think he'll make the A main, but expect him to run in the top 10.
Now hold on a second, Kirk. Just 5 minutes ago, you said he wasn't going to make the A main.
Well,
make up your mind.
I said he would do well to make the A main, but now you're talking about 24 cars that were there in June. If there's that many and they have a B main, even if there's just a few more than a full field of cars, I think he's got a pretty good shot at making the A main. The question you originally asked was, does he make the top 10? I say no.
No. But when I said that, you said you didn't think he would even make the A main.
I said he would do well to make the A main. That's what I said.
No, go back and check the tape. You said that he probably won't make the A main, is what you said. See, this is 22 years. This is what I've dealt with for 22 years. I love Kirk. He's my brother. Don't. And when we spat on the air, just so you know, when me and Kirk, we tiff on the air, when we get off the air, we never tiff.
Austin can settle this. What did I say, Austin?
I was reading on how many cars we had in the feature.
He's staying out of it.
No, I would be right in the middle of it. There was 13 out of the full-time drivers with the Outlaws at the race in June. From 1st to 13th was full-time drivers. And from 14th to 24th was the regional cars or the cars that just showed up off the tour. So I'm pretty confident in him finishing in the top 15.
Okay.
Frog says, poor Kirk.
Don't feel sorry for me.
Hey, Frog.
It's all good.
Frog, you've been listening to us for over 20 years. This is the same thing that Kirk and I have been doing for the last 22 years.
Yeah, it's all good.
Huh?
Hey, I want to make
sure. Kirk, you don't take anything I say to you personal, do you?
No, not
because you know that I – let me tell you something about Kirk Elliott, just so you know. I can talk to Kirk any way I like to talk to Kirk, right? But if anybody else talks to Kirk in a foul tone or bucks up on Kirk, they're going to answer to me. Because I ain't going to let nobody talk to Kirk like I talk to Kirk. Only I can talk to Kirk like I talk to Kirk.
We're brothers, man.
That's it.
Hey, I want to correct one thing. Ransomville in the Super Dirt Kart Series, just one night. That was a one-night show. Yeah, one-night show. Matt Williamson, the winner last night. Next up is Legend Lebanon Valley Speedway coming up on September 9th. Weed Sport on September 10th and 11th for the Big Block Modified. So
right.
That's their next events.
Dave said, as I understand it, the city of Dodge City, track owner, and Dodge City Raceway Park are not on the same page regarding some dates and purses. Not good.
Yeah, that's owned by the city, right?
It's owned by the city, yeah.
So you don't, even though you're Craig Delansky and you're running that racetrack, you really don't have total control over everything.
Nina says, damn, Scott, you are going to really miss Kirk. Boy, isn't that the truth. Kirk's not going anywhere.
Well, I'm
you're going to be a little more part-time.
I'm dialing it back. I'm not going to be as readily on the air as often as I was, but I'll still be around.
Saturday mornings are going to be different.
Yeah. I'll be here some on Saturday mornings, but now I'm going to go watch Cyclone football on Saturdays this fall after we get through the cup weekend in a couple of weeks. So that's my plan. But I'm not going very far away. No. I'll still be around.
You're still going to live in Kansas City, though, right?
Yeah. For a while. I'll spend more time up in Iowa and kind of back and forth.
So
that's the way it'll be.
Just so people know, you and your two brothers own a farm up in Mount Air, right?
Right.
A big farm. And there's a house up there on that farm, right?
The
house you grew up in. And you are going to be you're going to have a house here in Kansas City, and the house that's on the farm up there in Mount Air, you're going to put some furniture in it, and you're going to stay in between the two, right?
Yeah, I'll still have my home here in Kansas City for a while. But, I need a place to stay when I spend more time up in Iowa.
When you went out to look at apartments for rent, they are astronomical.
Oh, right, everything's gone.
Oh my
sky
gosh.
High.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So, yeah. I'm staying put for a while. So,
there
you go.
Kirk, are you going to go out and watch your nephew race at Lakeside tonight?
I am. As a matter of fact, I talked to them the other day. I'm going to head out to Lakeside tonight to watch the races.
They had, what, 16 cars out there last week, didn't they?
They had more than they've had. It's been up and down. It's been hit and miss on these A-mods. Sometimes you get 7, 8. Sometimes you get 15.
That's why we don't talk a lot about modified racing here on Mostly Motorsports. You know why I don't talk about it, Kirk? Because I think modified racing's dying.
Well, it's gotten so expensive.
It's too expensive.
You talk about the weekly racers. Even the B-mods cost a lot of money to operate. So, you know, it just costs
A-mods,
so much.
A-mods are dying on the vine as we speak. And it really has a lot to do with how much they're paying A-mods to win. I mean, if you look at USMTS, and listen, they are the world of outlaws in modified racing. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They put on some great racing, right? But the problem is they're paying too much. And what that does is that drives all the professionals in to run in modifieds when they're not running their late models. Modified racing, as John Jr. just said, is dead. A-mod racing is dead.
Well, the technology that's come into modifieds is much like what you see in the late models. It's
too expensive.
It's gotten very expensive.
It's a late model that has no fenders from the door forward is all it is.
Yeah, that's right.
And smaller tires where you can't get any grip.
Tires.
Right.
That's what it turned into.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly expensive. I mean, we're not just talking about the engines. We're talking about shock packages, the roller chassis,
everything. A brand new MB Customs car costs $36,000 with no shocks, no engine, no transmission, and no lead. $36,000. And then how much is it, Austin, you know as well as anybody, how much is a top flight USMTS motor? 25, 30 grand?
I'm going to say around that price. It's about the same price as buying a 360 right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think I priced out a really good, 360 for about $25,000, $28,000 rolling, and you stick with no spare parts, you stick a $45,000, $50,000 motor in it, and you're sitting at about $80,000, buy spare parts. You know, the nice thing about racing modifieds or late models, you're not going to go through a lot of cars like you do in sprint cars. So, that upfront cost of, maybe buying a car and a handful of spare parts is cheaper, but it's about the same price.
You think they'd be better off running bigger tires, get the grip?
You'd be racing a late model at that point.
At that point, you would be, yeah.
Nobody's complaining about, a tire issue right now with them. It's just
right.
And not enough cars. They're too expensive to race, and it's going to be tough for a guy that works 9 to 5 Monday through Friday to afford one of those.
There's exceptions, and Caleb brings up a point here. 81 Speedway in 2021 had the highest average A-mod car count, 27.5, over the course of the year. There is some tracks that it's like I-80, but they're IMCA, right? They're NASCAR.
No, they're NASCAR.
They're NASCAR.
Yeah.
But they have a good amount of cars up there as well.
Well,
at I-80,
they do, mm-hmm. and you got to credit the Kosciuszko family for building that up. They've got the SLMR late models, the Malvern Bank series, and the Hooker Trucking series that kind of helped build up their late model counts, and so they've got a rules package that works, and car counts are really good. At some places, car counts are really good; others, not so good. And that's kind of where we're at right now. By the way, you brought up the USMTS. They're going to be in action on Labor Day weekend. Next weekend, Friday, September 2nd, Mississippi Thunder Speedway. They've got a night at Deer Creek Speedway on Saturday, September the 3rd. And then they move to Fayette County Speedway in West Union, Iowa on Sunday, September 4th. Next up for the United States Modified Touring Series.
I thought they were racing tonight.
I'm just looking at their schedule right now on usmts.com, and that's what I see.
Well, I was looking on Racing Dirt today, and it says that they're running the season championship at Mississippi Thunder Speedway.
That's what weekly they carry. Racing Dirt carries all their weekly races up there.
Up there at Mississippi Thunder?
Right.
Oh.
But what may be confusing, Mississippi Thunder happens to be the next race for the USMTS.
I got you.
But it's a week from tonight.
I got you. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be doing the show that Kirk and I have been doing for 22 years on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's called Track Talk, and we'd like for you to tune in as well, if you could, tomorrow morning. It's early. I get it. But if you guys are out on the East Coast, we go on at 9 o'clock. And if you're on the West Coast, it's really early if we're on the West Coast.
And we'll have Lee Spencer on from Daytona. She's in Daytona this weekend. She'll talk about everything's gone on, Kurt Busch.
My favorite thing to talk about, NASCAR.
The playoffs are ending tomorrow night at Daytona, and we'll talk about all the NASCAR talk tomorrow morning.
Great. Sounds like fun.
Well, it's a critical time of the year. They're coming to Kansas Speedway here in a couple of weeks. So we got to talk it up, man.
Do I?
I will.
I don't. Me personally, I am just, I'm all about the late models and the sprint cars right now. That's what I'm all about.
I like it all, man. Mm-hmm. I like every bit of it.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. Again, today's Mostly Motorsports has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. My friend out on the West Coast as well. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We hope we'll see you tomorrow morning on Track Talk, 8 a.m. Central Time. Until then, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.